Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
Everybody say Jesus. We thank you, O God, for what shall happen in our life. We thank you, O God, for what is about to transpire and for the great things you have done in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together and bless God. Man, my ministry did a tremendous job today, didn't they? Amen. Sermon series is Act Like a Man, Think Like a Man of God. I've probably got 4 weeks in me on this, but we're going to try to cover it in two. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. And if you've been coming here for the past few weeks, I promise you I know more scriptures in the Bible than this, but there's so much, I think, packed in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. So all the fathers, enjoy your day. Amen. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your day. All the ladies that love your man. Yeah. Show it. Get a babysitter and y'all two at the house. Y'all got real quiet. That's probably the most anointed thing I said all day. Yeah. Honor the men of God that he's placed in your life. When you honor them, you'll receive back double in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28. I'm going to preach for about 20, 25 minutes, and I'm going to pray for all the men in here, and we're going to get freed up. I'm not going to do it. The power of God's going to free us up to lead and be who God called us to be. I command every addiction. I command every stronghold. I command every mistake from your past to loose you and let you go. I command that we will be free men of God, walking in purpose. God, you're healing our character and our integrity in the name of Jesus. And we're going to stand on our post. In Jesus' name, amen. God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. Look at your neighbor and say, you got power over creeps. Yeah, you do. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said this, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. What is a man of God? A man of God is one whom God created to express his image and likeness. Man, just like I said it with the ladies, is everything that God would want to be in a body. Brothers, can you find another brother and tell them I'm everything God would want to be in a body? That's saying a lot right there. So to act like a man is what I'm going to focus on today. Are y'all going to talk back to me? Yeah. To act like a man of God, here are a couple things that you must do. Number one, you got to understand your divine mandate. The divine mandate was in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Number one, he said, have dominion. What is dominion? Dominion is to rule. It's to bring into subjection. Hear me, brothers. None of us were designed to live in debt, fear, sickness, and disease. We were created to rule in every environment. We are designed to master things. That's why we always got to be right. But this is why many of us wrestle privately with fear. This desire to master has us wanting to be in control because we have to dominate things. I told you I cut hair when I was in college, and I'm not taking Isaiah to the barber shop, so I'm cutting his hair. Barber said, Jason, Isaiah wants a mohawk. I said, I ain't cutting him a mohawk. I finally gave in. For the past 3 weeks, I've been cutting Isaiah a mohawk, and Isaiah's got hair like mine. It's not the best hair in the world. So we're trying to get this thing together, and I'm sitting here. I'm on the internet. I'm on YouTube, and I about got it there. Y'all look at him when you see him. Check him out. I'm about there. Isaiah, I'll get finished with Isaiah's hair. We'll get ready to get it off. I said, come back, Isaiah. I ain't finished yet. Daddy, are you through yet? I'll be walking. Isaiah said, Daddy, why you keep staring at my head? It ain't him. It's the haircut. I got to get that thing right. You ever seen your husband wash his car and go outside 3 times and check it? I know I ain't the only one. Brothers, you ever mow your yard and go halfway up the street if you live on a hill just to look at it and see what it looked like? We are designed to have dominion and master things. Not only that, we're designed to be fruitful. Man is designed to produce something. You produce from who you are. You produce after your own kind. The glory of God is seen for what he produces. You are the glory of God. He produced you. The glory of a man comes from what he produces. This is why a man is so proud of his children. It's why a man is so proud of the things he makes. I seen grown, just tattooed up, hard-looking men, and their little daughter or son to come up and read a scripture, and they broke down crying. I mean, why this grown, mean-looking man crying over his daughter reading the scripture? Because he's proud of what he created. He looks at his children. There ain't a man in this world that, I don't know, perhaps that hadn't woke up in the middle of the night and looked over at your wife and then your children, if they still in the bed, and looked at them. I'll leave it right there. And look at them like, look at what God has produced. I mean, a man in the house know I'm connecting with you. Not only is a man designed to be fruitful, but a man is designed to multiply. We are designed to become or be great. Inside every man, you're taught to play it down from the time you're young. Don't overboast. Don't talk about yourself too much. And you shouldn't, but you should be proud of what you do. We were created to walk with a godly swagger, increase in wealth, and to have a great name. We're not created to stay dormant, stuck, and live a dull, boring life. There was an innate need inside of all of us to be great. It's in us from the youngest to the oldest. We just shouldn't deny that on the inside of us. Go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. If you can't get there quick enough, it's on the screen. Here's what I love about how God describes his children. And I believe it speaks specifically to who men are. Exodus 1, before Robin Harris came out with this, y'all have no idea that the Bible penned this verse. Y'all remember Robin Harris, don't you? Baby's kids. Exodus 1:11 says, therefore they did set burden over the taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they are multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. I found out men of God are just like Bebe's kids. We don't die, we multiply. The more you put pressure on us, the more we go through, the more you see God's innate strength rise up inside of me. You know, I got any men in here that know you've been through some stuff. You've been through hell and high water. And you've seen God raise up a mighty standard in your life. You've seen him do three things through you that you know that couldn't nobody do it but God. If I'm talking to you, open your mouth and praise God for a moment, man. Fruitful, multiply. Then he said replenish. A real man of God is designed to feel and be full. I'll try not to snap on this one, but I'm somewhat grieved when I see the condition of the community, of how men take advantage of many women. And yes, I know it's true that a person will do no more than what you allow them to do. But as men, I think in many instances, it's time for us to step up. We were created to restore and not strip away. The opposite of real manhood is to rob women of their purity. Sit up somewhere and let somebody take care of you while they work and you sit up and eat cereal and play Xbox all day. The opposite of replenish is to suck the life out of your church, your job, and your home. This is not our design. You were designed to fill up, make a deposit, and pour back into everywhere you go. My prayer today is that somebody turn their player card in. And my prayer today is that somebody step up to the plate and say, there's something, I'm talking to real men in here, there's something inside of me that says, I got to take care and cover what's mine. Can I tell brothers in here, any brothers ever made some mistakes in here? Come on, talk back to me. Any brothers ever made some mistakes in here? God backs what he creates. And the moment you decide to walk in faith, God steps up and all heaven backs up your situation. God can deal with your debt. He can deal with your lack. He can deal with all the decisions that you have made. All he needs you to do is step up in faith. I want to talk to some brothers in here who perhaps you put yourself in a hole. Perhaps you got kids outside of your marriage or kids that you need to take care of. Perhaps you got responsibility and it feel like the whole world is caving in on you. I don't want you to take it on. I want you to give it back to the Father and let him live through you. The challenge that I see today, thank you. Here's the challenge that I see. That many men quit instead of trying. And I know it's hard when you're in a hole. I know it's hard when you seem like everything is lined up against you. But can I tell you that if God be God, let every man be a liar. If God be who he says he is,
And if this word be true, God has a way of rescuing you right in the middle of your situation. God has a way of redeeming you in the midst of pressure, because God specializes in things impossible. Men are designed to replenish and not strip away. Brothers, can I call you on the carpet for a moment? Let's make sure we're pouring back into the women and the children that we love, and that we're not taking more than we're giving. I lost you on that one. The last thing man is supposed to do is subdue. He is supposed to keep up under, bring in bondage. He's to make things subservient. We're not designed to be weak, passive, and withdrawn. This is why most men are fixers. Brothers, you ever been in a situation perhaps like me, and your wife tells you what's going on, what she's dealing with, and our immediate response is to do what? Jump in and fix it. But in the reality, many times all she wants you to do is listen. And you in a quandary because you can't believe what they're doing on my job. Who? I will be up there first thing tomorrow morning. Who? She don't need all that. She love her. She like her job. It's just things she's dealing with. There's something inside of you that says, I got to fix everything. But the thing is, you learn how to, and I'll get there in a minute, how to work together. First thing, man understands his divine nature. The second thing is this. Y'all all right? Man understands, first one, divine mandate. Second one, his divine nature. Nature is the inner drive of an organism. It's what God gives. Divine nature is the God-given drive inside of you. There are three things that every man needs. Man is not designed to live in fear. He's designed to live in faith. Three things that every man needs, and men, you will testify to this. Number one, we need an adventure. You can see a group of men talking, and you'll walk in the conversation, and we can talk for hours about putting a shelf up on the wall. What engine is the best engine? Did they put it in the 64 Mustang or in the 90s? We'll talk about how to fix something. We'll design. I remember when we were in 1994, almost 20 years ago. We graduated from high school, and I remember the cookout that we had. My daddy and three men were sitting around talking. They weren't talking about graduation. They weren't talking about how proud. They had a map and were drawing out the ever before GPS, the best route to get to Panama City Beach, Florida. Men need an adventure. That's why most men have a hobby as an outlet. Men remodel, we fix, we love to hunt, we love to fix. Some wash cars, some fix certain things. Why? Some people work out. Why? Because a man needs an adventure. We were created for an adventure, and to be honest with me, brothers, perhaps you're going to testify to this, we like a little chaos in our lives. Yeah. We like a little emptiness around us. You know why? It gives us something to do. Because most men get bored real easy. After all, our maker looked at a world that was without form and void and spoke something into existence. You want to see a real man step up? Let there be chaos around. A real man steps up in the midst of chaos and a formless situation. Said, this is what it's going to be. We love creating stuff from nothing. I've seen men who didn't come from much, but established great families. I am a product of those, that generation, and friends of mine who watched men who worked, I mean, literally broke their back their entire life, who sacrificed when they could have been selfish so that kids like, that they produced kids like myself could live a certain life, who didn't come from anything, but look, but through the God-given grace that they've been giving them, they saved money. They bought cars. They fixed things. They remodeled. And you don't wonder, where in the world did money come from? It seemed like time stood still because God blessed what they were doing. When a man doesn't really know how to handle certain things, get where I'm going, sometimes we make it up and we won't tell you. Here's the reason why, ladies, because we love an adventure. When a man doesn't know how to handle it, he doesn't tell you because here's the reason, he likes a challenge. You need proof? Look at half of the personalities of the women that we married. Y'all keep us on our toes. Y'all not saying nothing right there. I saw about five. Amen, Pastor. It's a good thing. Most men like a challenge. Most of our wives are feisty, strong-willed, independent. But here's the thing. We silently love it. Because no man wants somebody he can just walk over. And you said, hop on one foot. Bark like a dog. What do you like? Whatever you like. No man likes that. Most men, be honest, like a strong, sharp woman who can do what you all are doing by herself, but she chose to do it together. You like somebody who's independent, who's driven, who you don't have to lift up and pick up every day, but somebody who is driven on their own, because men love an adventure. You ever been talking to your husband and y'all don't know where y'all going, and he won't pull over and ask for directions? Let me tell you the truth. On the inside, we laughing because we going to figure it out. I don't want to ask nobody because eventually this thing going to come to me. We just want you to sit there and enjoy the ride. The second thing is this. Every man in his nature needs a battle. Our God is a God of war. He's not a weak, passive God. He rescues, saves, and delivers you every day. All throughout the Bible, all the great heroes were fighters. David was a warrior. Moses was a fighter. Samson was a fighter. Paul was a fighter. Jesus Christ himself whipped Satan on Calvary's cross. He's one of the greatest fighters that we know. Men are wired for battle. Watch us from the time we're born. We love superheroes. You're not going to put three boys in a room and they're going to be quiet. You're going to hear bumbling. You're going to be tussling. You're going to have stuff falling off the wall. Elbows being dropped. Drop kicks being laid. Headlocks. Figure fours. Why? Because we are men of war. Put us outside. And I know society is trying to curb this because we don't want sadistic boys, but we can turn a stick from an oak tree into a sword or a gun. Why? Because we're wired for battle. Now, watch this. If you don't train, if you don't harness that, yeah, it'll go in the wrong direction. But you want an aggressive man who knows how to stand up and speak for himself. I love watching Isaiah. It ain't Halloween, but Isaiah on any day allowed to pop up with a Batman costume, Superman costume, Power Rangers, whatever. But here's the crazy part. He thinks when he puts that costume on, he takes on the power of the costume that he put on. You can't tell him he ain't Batman. Y'all don't tell him. You can't tell him he ain't Superman. That don't stop when you are a child. It continues on to when you're older. Every single last one of us got a little corporate in us. All of us got a gentleman in us. All of us got a romancer in us. And all of us got a little thug in us. Oh, mess with our family. Even the most passive man, Deacon Willie, can be in church, and he seemed like he the nicest man there is. Deacon Willie never gets upset. Deacon Willie is just great, opens up doors, and he's just real peaceful. Let Deacon Willie mess with Deacon Willie's family. Deacon Willie would turn into Jack the Ripper on you. Talk to Deacon Willie's wife. Deacon Willie, his wife would tell you, he's a nice gentleman at church. But when he gets home, he is a romantic warrior. That's all they will tell you about Deacon Willie, because inside of every man is all of these things. We just learn when to let it out. You know when to let that thug out. You know when to go corporate. And you know when to get things done. Another thing is this. Every man needs a beauty to rescue. Bottled up in the heart of every man is passion you would not believe. We're driven by beauty. Look at how most men describe their car or their yard. They refer to it in a feminine aspect, not objectifying you, but they see we are driven by beauty. We were at the mall yesterday, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and me and Isaiah were sitting there. Well, Barbara and a family friend of ours, Michelle, were walking around, and Isaiah said something to me in my ear, and I said, "What?" I said, "Say it again." He said, "Oh, I can't." I said, "What did you just say?" And I said, "Repeat it to me." He said, "I repeat it under one condition." I ain't even told his mama. I repeat it under one condition. I said, "What's that condition out there?" "You got to promise you don't whip me." I said, "All right, let's get ready for this one." I don't know what he's going to ask me. I said, "Tell me." "Oh, Daddy, I can't." I said, "Tell me what it is. I ain't going to whip you." He said, "Daddy, why do women have belly buttons? How are we going to handle this one?" And I looked around, and there was a lady. Nice built lady who probably had her daughter's shirt on. Get ready, Darren. And the midsection of her body was exposed. So I guess the best way Isaiah knew how to deal with it is to ask about belly buttons. Get ready, Whip. I could have jumped on his head. Isaiah, don't be looking at that woman. But in reality, he's a man. My goal was, I explained to him why he had a belly button, and when he was in mommy's belly, this is where the umbilical cord, he said, why you cut that? I don't need it now. We went through all them changes. But he really wanted to know, belly button, I see it, it looks nice. And you guys could have killed his drive right then in that moment. And he would have never talked to me about any sexual thought or feeling that he's had, because it stimulated him, and I want him, we ain't gonna sit around and objectify women, but I want him to feel comfortable enough to talk to me. Here's why. Because if Isaiah ever makes a mistake and he ever has premarital sex, and say he has gotten someone pregnant, before I want him to go do something crazy, or like, he may, man, we're gonna get an abortion and get rid of it. Before you make that decision, come talk to me. If you sit up in my house with a sexually transmitted disease, just get real for a moment. I don't want you call a little buddy down the road. I don't want you and your little friends getting together. I want him to feel comfortable enough with daddy, daddy, I messed up. I made a mistake. This is going on with me right now. Please don't drop the house on my head, but I need some help. Guess what daddy's going to do? Daddy's going to take him to get fixed, but we're going to talk as well. Oh, y'all remember them talks? You call home and ask for money. You ain't just getting money. You got an hour-long conversation with that money. Like, I wish I would just, yeah. Because that's wired in the divine nature of a man. And watch this. Instead of killing it, watch this. Whatever you hold private grows in an unhealthy manner. So I have to allow him and have teachable moments about Isaiah. This is why women have belly buttons. Men need a beauty to rescue. But can I be honest with all my strong ladies in the room? Many men find themselves in a dilemma because we're not passive at all. And Barbara and I had this conversation and she shared this with you. But we're left with the question, how do you take care of a beauty who can take care of everything herself? Men were known, I'm going to bring home the bacon. What is she on the pig? I'm going to take care of all the bills. What does she make twice what you make? Are you going to be intimidated by what she does? Men are faced with this dilemma because now you go to, you don't know whether to take care, step in, say something, because there are times, to be honest, it's selective help. I need it only on certain moments, and we're left many times to try to read your mind, and you're left many times wondering if we really care. So you have this big chasm going on where we think independent and you think we don't care. I hit many houses in here right now when I said that. Here's the question we all have to ask ourselves. Am I really walking to my God-given purpose? Let me tell you something here. There's something that your job, ladies and men, can't do for you. There's something that money can't do for you. There's something that success can't do for you. There's something that even God himself can't do for you by himself. He needs somebody else. He said it's not good in Genesis 2 that man should be alone. Hold on a minute. Man had everything. In today's time, he'd have a house, he'd have a nice bank account, he'd have no debt, no sickness, no disease, no stress, no worry. He walked, and can imagine this, he walked and lions stood up prostrate when he walked by because they respected the nature of a man. Tigers and bears all respected him. What did he need, though? He needed a helpmeet. Can I tell you in here, I don't care how successful you get. I don't care what happens in your life. You need the God-given relationships. Your money will never compete with what your wife can do to you. Your money will do to you and do for you. Your money will never, I'm serious, it will never, your success will never compete with that void that God designed. Jesus, you my husband, you my everything. He's not your husband, he wants you to find one. He is your Lord, your Savior, and your King. But many have been so disappointed by relationships, and you are beauty waiting to be rescued. And I told you last week, we have to learn when to wear what hat. There are times men have to communicate this to their wives. There are times that we want you to be mommy, take care of everything. But at times, we want you to be mama. No. There are times where we want you to jump in and fix everything. But there are times where we want you to allow us. And that's exactly what you do. No man can demand leadership or influence in a woman's life. It's earned. I'm talking real good right now. It's earned through respect. And you give us the opportunity to lead you. So every man wants a beauty to rescue. I'll close with this. Men, you can create your Eden, your environment, just like your father did. How do I do that? Look at all the raw materials in your life and imagine what they could be. Number two, develop a plan on how you want it to look and what's going to happen once it starts to come in place. Number three, accept your role and be the man in your garden. You have to define what that looks like in your garden. You have to define the people that God has placed in your garden. Number four, speak life to everything that you are imagining. I see this. I see my son doing this. And let me show you how powerful your spoken word is as a man. Barbara, I've shared this with you guys. Our first child, Barbara lost it at 6 months old. At 6 months being pregnant. We went to the ultrasound, and the lady went out of the room, and Barbara said, something's not right. The doctor came back in and said, I don't know what happened. The child is deceased. And they were telling us through the entire, I'm using it to show you the power of spoken word. And if I'd have known it more, we may have two children now, honestly. The lady said, your child is deceased. So we had to go through the whole process of birthing a child that was not born. It was not a pretty process at all. And it leads over into your other children because there's a level of fear. So we're dealing with all this. But they kept telling us. I said, Barbara, our first child is going to be a boy. Every ultrasound we had, guess what they told us? It's a girl. It's a girl. You're going to have a girl, Mrs. Scales. I said, no, it's not. It's a boy. When Barbara delivered, guess what it was? A boy. Whatever you call it, just like Adam, that's what it would be. There is power in your tongue that you can decree a thing and it will be established. You can go home and speak to the chaos in your home. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus, Satan, your reign is over. I stand as the watchman on the wall. And watch this. When you speak, stuff starts to line up. Why? Because there's power inside of every man to call those things that be not as though they were. Whatever you do, don't let Satan steal your confession. There's power in your words. Last thing is this. Well, two things. Create rules and parameters in your garden. There's nothing wrong with boundaries. The best father there was, his own son messed up. Adam, God's first son, messed up. He didn't stop being God. I see parents beat themselves up because of the stuff their kids do. God didn't stop being God when Adam messed up. He went right ahead, put him out the garden, and said, listen, this is what's going to happen to you. No, I'm serious. He did. That's why we got Jesus. He did. He said, I'm not going to stop being God and change the rules of my house because you want to act a fool. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to set it up. Here's what I'm going to have. Listen, when you bear children, it's going to hurt. Listen, you're going to have to boil the sweat of your brow. Y'all sweating in here right now. That's a result of what happens as a result of the fall. I'm working. He said, I set parameters up. Every man. And come together, if you're married with your wife, set rules and parameters in your house. And here's a consequence if you don't follow them. But also, be like God. Thank God for Jesus. That he doesn't forever kick us out. He let me back in through Jesus. Always provide a safety net for your children. A safety net for your wife or even yourself that said, just in case something happens, thank God for love. Thank God for forgiveness. But watch this. There will be consequences and repercussions because this is how it goes down. Am I talking to anybody in here? Amen. The last thing is this. Get ready to fight Satan. In every garden, there is something sent there to ruin the moment. Protect your garden. You can have a great night plan for your husband or your wife. Trust me and believe something's going to happen to get you off of your game. Make a decision in your mind. No, this is what's going to be in my house. I decided this is the way it's going to be. There are things that are always going to come up to disrupt your Eden environment. But you know, you call the enemy out for what it is. Married couples, can I tell you for a minute? I know this is on men. You got to be able to call a spade a spade. If y'all arguing over stupid stuff, the spoon that was in the living room, you ain't watched this right. That's still, and it's going on all week. At a certain point, you got to step back and say, listen, this is greater than a spoon. I ain't trying to be all deep and mystical, but I refuse to allow this stupid stuff to disrupt my house. We're going to have an eating environment, and we're going to work together because it's not the spoon, it's not the cup, it's not your socks, it's not what you wear. There's something trying to ruin our peace, and I call it on the carpet. We will be happily married in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, and make it pay. Just when you're mad, when you feel like ain't nothing. Barbara, can you come for a moment? I know your foot there. When you feel like, man, I want to give in and throw in the towel. That's the moment you go grab her. Amen. That's the moment you don't feel like we're going to dance, put our favorite. No, you force yourself because love conquers all. Y'all hear me in here. You'll find yourself as mad as, you mad. And all that stuff just rising up inside of you. But love will start to rise up on the inside of you. Speak well of your wife when you would cuss. Speak well of your husband when you would just throw in the towel. And watch how you create an environment through your words and you let God get a hold of his situations. One of the worst things that God, Barbara ever said to me that really got me on my toes, she said, I'm going to pray to God about you. I said, all right. You can fuss all day long, but you done told my daddy. In your environment, know your power. Men, time to step up to the plate. Be real men of God. I want to pray and do this. I'll finish up next Sunday. But you know, you guys stand for a moment. Every man. I want to pray for every man who wants prayer. And we're going to come to the altar and worship. But the first thing I want to do is this. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There's a man in here, the boldest thing you can do, and I normally just have you stay at your seat and raise your hand. Every man in here, no shame in your game. Your relationship with God is not where it should be. You're not saved, or you walked away from God. Best gift you can give your family or anything. It's not money. It ain't another car, it ain't another house. It's giving your heart to Jesus because they know they're safe. If you know there's some things that you are wrestling with that are hindering your relationship and fellowship with God, nobody's looking at you crazy in here, because the reality is we all wrestle with some of us, something. But you're saying, this thing is getting the best of me and I need the help of God. It could be anger. I'm not going to ask you what it is, but it's hindering your relationship with God. I come against every religious spirit that will look and say, what they dealing with? Who cares? It shows you're dealing with something right there. You're nosy. Father, I thank you for every man that will be delivered right now. First appeal is for every man that want to recommit his heart to God. Wherever you are all over the building, the Spirit of the Lord is working on you. I want you to come from wherever you are. Come from wherever you are. Listen, I want to give my heart to God. Listen, it takes one to make that step. Man, thank God. No, come on, brother. Yeah, come on. That's some more. Come on, that's some more. God's working on your heart. Every man in here who has a family who just said, God, I need you to just do something tremendous in my life, and I want my family to see me worshiping. I want to recommit my life to you. It ain't that I'm not saved, but God, I want you to take us to a greater level. I want you to give me wisdom and strength. I want every other man to come and surround these brothers. We get ready to go to God. Let me tell you something. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm just the most visible man. I'm not the most important man. You are the most important man in your house. Y'all step up for a minute, brothers. Let's do it all. Every man sat at this altar, I want you to slip your hands up. Repeat after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. I admit I've done things that are not pleasing in your sight. I confess right now that you are the Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive me of sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, I am saved. I am a man of God, and Jesus is Lord of my life. Every man at this altar, we're about to get freed. I want you to begin to worship God. I want you to begin to open your mouth and talk to him. Your family's on the line. This thing is bigger than you just sitting here. There are generations connected to you. My decisions don't just affect me, but I open up the gate to the enemy through all of my dumb decisions, all my careless moments. And I ask God that you cover our house. Every man that's dealing with the spirit of perversion, every man that deals with anger, that deals with rejection, that deals with loss, I come against that thing right now in the name of Jesus. I declare that we will be men of dominion, men who replenish, men who subdue. Brothers, I don't need you to be quiet. I need you to talk to God. Come on, I need you to act like you're going to act when the Heat win the NBA Finals. I thought I'd throw that one in there. I need you to act like you would act when you're at your favorite NBA, when you're watching your NFL. I need you to just pour your heart out to God. Talk to him. Come on. Come on. Pour your heart out to him. Father, I honor you. Something happens when men worship. Satan, I know you're angry, but I don't care. We will be strong men. Satan don't have all of us. will cover our families. Every man in here who needs wisdom on how to lead your house. You're dealing with strong-willed kids. You're dealing with, how do I be the man you called me to be? I never saw it. How do I be a helpmeet to my spouse? How do I lead this? She's smarter than me. She makes more money than me. She does this. And you feel like you're competing. God, give them wisdom right now. Show them their role in their wife's life and their children's life. I pray for every man who is shut down in your own house. Every man that is berated and beat down. I pray over you right now in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord lifts you. He lifts you. He lifts you. He lifts you. Come on, men. Come on, brothers. Talk to him. I ain't going to give up on my marriage. I'm not going to let anybody drive me out of my place. I ain't going to argue every day of my life. Come on, I got wisdom. I'm committed to one woman. I'm a one-woman man. My nature would not get the best of me. I will take care of my family. Alcohol, addiction in my past would not control me. I'll be a strong man of God. Come on, I'm praying over you now. We're going to be men with character and integrity. Men who cover. Come on, brothers. Come on, brothers. Father, for the mistakes of my past, they are not a part of my current reality. I thank you right now. I'm a strong man. I'm a whole man. I'm going back home different. I'm going back home changed. In the name of Jesus. Father, I bless you right now. Can you guys cut that for a moment? Brothers, we're going to go back to our seat, but I want you to do me a favor. It's going to get better next week. Something happens when men praise. Something happens when men, when a godly man of God opens their mouth, claps their hands, and just loses in the presence of God. I need you to do this for me for the next 30 seconds to a minute, or just I want you to lose yourself in it. I want you to begin to open your mouth. Brothers, I want you to pour your heart out. They taught you not to be emotional. Men don't cry. Men got to keep it together. Later with that. Your life is on the line. Your family is on the line.
Yeah.
I need every man of God to begin to open your mouth and praise God right now. Come on, I need some baritone. I need some tenor voices.
Hallelujah.
Come on. That's it.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Come on, brothers. Come on, brothers. Your praise God. Your hallelujah. It's going to Shelbyville. It's going to Murfreesboro. It's going to Nashville. And it sounds like an army. It sounds like the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. Satan is nervous right now because you're declaring Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Every addiction is being broken. Every chain is being loose. Legacy is being created. Generational curses are being broken. Strong men of God who know how to embrace strong women of God.
Hallelujah.
Without being manipulative, without being players, without taking advantage. Men of God who are not iron-fisted, who are not dictators, but strong leaders are stepping to the plate. Sisters, y'all bear with us for a moment. And I need y'all to intercede. I wish I could get about 50 women to open your mouth and pray for your crazy cousin. Pray for your daddy who you ain't talked to in 3 years. Pray for somebody that the man of God inside of them steps up to the plate. Come on, brothers. Come on, brothers. Come on, brothers. Come on, brothers. Come on, brothers.
Hey,
I'm free. And I'm a man of God. No chains. No more shackles. You know what? That thing you're struggling with on your computer is broken.
Yes,
that anger God. That got the best of you, that had you talking crazy to everybody, it's broken. That nature that told you you would never be faithful, that you always had to run game and get over on people, it's broken.
Yes, God.
That passive side of you is broken now. I declare it over your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Can every brother go hug another brother and let them know you love them?
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's BFFTN.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.